Well, hello there. My name is Russell Cravens. I'm the lead pastor of Neartown Church. You're probably thinking, man, how'd he get scrawny that quickly? So I definitely look like Russell, and I definitely can't grow his beard. Have y'all been seeing that beard he's been growing out? I think it's ridiculous. So good grief. So, but I respect it. So I hate introducing myself every time I get up here, but just in case there's somebody in here who might not know me, my name is John Wethington. I completed an internship here, a year-long one, back in 2012 here at Neartown, and it was awesome, and I learned a whole lot, and I'm currently serving as an associate pastor at a church actually not too far from here, and so they were gracious enough to let me come over here and open God's word with you guys, so I'm really, really excited about this, and it's so great to get up here in front of family and friends and just preach. It's not like a venue. It's not like an event. It's not impersonal, but it's very personal with you guys. And so I love being here. And to my knowledge, we are doing a series called Dirty Little Secrets. And so that's interesting. So, it's funny, when I heard about it, I was thinking to myself, you know, that's a great series title for the Old Testament. You know, so we'll be going through that today. And we're going to be talking about a guy named Abraham and his wife Sarah. Who's heard of Abraham? Raise your hand. So, where my church nerds at, all right. We're talking about a guy named Abraham, and as we're going from the very beginning of the Bible and walking through the Old Testament, from my knowledge, what you guys have seen is God created the heavens and the earth, so a good God created a good world. He created people. The first two were Adam and Eve. They sinned against God the same way that we all have. We've all done things wrong that we know we shouldn't have done. So then God decides to flood the world. Noah gets to ride it out, as I heard y'all read last week. And now what we're going to see is God is going to look at a man named Abraham. And Abraham is known as a man of faith. He's known as a man who was maybe more so righteous than other people, who feared God more than other people. And so God looks down in his sovereign plan and sees this man named Abraham, and he says he's going to bless the entire world through him. And we see this actually comes to fruition because Jesus actually comes from Abraham. Jesus, who reconciles all things back to God, comes from Abraham. And so what we're going to see is that Abraham, from his line, is that through his faith and his righteousness, God is going to bless the world. But unfortunately, even Abraham has issues. Even Abraham has a few dirty little secrets, and that's what we're going to read about this morning. Basically, what's going to go on here, we're going to read in Genesis 15. If you don't have a Bible, I'm guessing we still hand them out, so I'm going to get JJ on that. So if you don't have a Bible, just slip up your hand. We're going to be in Genesis 15. And what's going on here is God has said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to bless the world through you and your descendants. But Abraham says, okay, God, I don't have any kids. And so God says, okay, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you and your wife, who they were actually very old at the time. But he's like, even in the midst of this, I'm going to give you a child. And so what we're going to read about this morning is this kind of story. And we're basically going to examine two biblical principles. I like to keep it really, really simple. We're going to look at this morning. That number one, when we don't follow God's plan, things get messy. And number two, that God's faithfulness overwhelms our unfaithfulness. And so if you will stand with us this morning, we're going to read God's word together, starting in Genesis 15, verse 1. We're going to read these six verses, and then we're going to flip to the beginning of Genesis 16, where the story continues. Genesis 15, 1 says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And then we're going to slip to Genesis 16, verse 1, where the story continues now with his wife. Now Sarai Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave you my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Wow. This is messy. I remember when I was looking at this before, I was like, man, how do we transition this? And I think just being honest, a lot of the things that we see in the Old Testament, they're very messy. That's just a good word I like to use. When you read about King David, it's kind of funny when you grow up and you hear like the Sunday school stories, you're like, oh, he killed a big giant named Goliath, and oh, he did all these great things and people loved him. But when you begin reading through the Old Testament for yourself, you see there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of things that you might not tell the kids in Sunday school, but when we read it, they're there nonetheless. And I think what we're seeing here is this. So Abraham and Sarah have become frustrated because God said something to them. He said, "I'm going to give you a child," but they haven't received a child yet. And so in their, I think maybe their frustration and then their anxiety and desire to have a child, they come up with this own plan where basically she's like, "Okay, look, since I can't have a child, maybe you could have a child with my Egyptian servant." And so things get really messy. Now you've got an illegitimate son who he loves, but is not the real son that God has provided. You've got a husband and wife that are at odds with each other. You've got two women that are really at odds and jealous towards one another. And it's really just a really big, giant mess. And what we have to realize this morning is that when we don't follow God's plan, things get messy. I want to have a disclaimer here that as we're reading this text, what you'll see is sometimes Sarah is called Sarai, and sometimes Abraham is called Abram. And basically, this is just the same name, same people, but in the process of God's faithfulness, as we're going to see in a little bit, God will oftentimes change people's names in Scripture to signify something that he's done. And so I want you to kind of just be aware of that. But let's just be honest. This is probably like Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer was ever real. It's a soap opera. And I think as I was reading this, and I was trying to be honest with myself and examining my own life, I think one thing I've noticed is sometimes it's a lot easier to just cut corners than it is to really follow God's plan. Amen. Sometimes God will tell you to do something, and like, but you won't hear from God in a while. Maybe that's how it seems. And I think Abraham is probably in the same situation. And I think when we look at this idea of cutting corners, my generation in a lot of ways has kind of done that. A lot of my friends growing up, we experienced a lot of divorce in the household. Growing up, my parents were divorced, and probably more of my friends than not had parents that were split. And so what my generation in a lot of ways has decided to do, and maybe you can relate with this, or you've seen this, or maybe this was you, people thought, well, logically, since there's so much divorce and since so many people can't stay together, what we're going to do in our own logic and our own understanding is we're going to move in together before we get married. Okay, and once we move in together, we try it out, we see if it works, and if it works, we'll get married, but if not, then, you know, we just won't have to go through a divorce. And while, if we're going to be honest, this kind of makes sense, and it kind of, there's some understanding in this, and we can see maybe how people would think that, the reality is, and you've probably seen the studies too, we're starting to realize that the divorce rate amongst those people is even higher. You see, in everything, God has a plan. And in everything, God has a way in which we are to do things. Everything from friendships to marriages, everything from how we interact in church. There's ways that we're supposed to do things, but oftentimes we like to cut corners. When me and my wife first got married, we had a very unhealthy habit. We always liked making desserts together. And we would generally hang out late in the evening because we were busy during the day. And we would make like cakes and brownies and all these types of things. And we've had to since change that because it's not good for you. But one night we were making brownies and my wife was very proud of herself. She gave me permission to use the story, by the way. She was very proud of herself because she had gotten this brownie mix that was like half the price. And what she didn't realize was it was half the price because it was half the brownie, you know? And so what she did was she put it in this normal size brownie thing, but it was only half the brownie, and it was a really low quality one. And so once the brownies came out, after she tried to cut corners, it was really nasty. And I think we have a picture of it up here, actually. Is there a picture? That's literally the brownie. It was like probably about this. It was this thick, okay? It was this thick, and it was really nasty. It was cardboard thin. It was hard as a brick. It was in one piece. And what we realized was sometimes when you try to save a little money, when you try to maybe kind of cut corners in certain places, you can really get in a bind, can't you? And I wonder if you've ever noticed this. If you've ever tried maybe to take a shortcut. If you've ever tried to cut a corner in God's plan. And I think Sarah and Abraham are frustrated in this moment, understandably. And I think they make the unfortunate decision to try and cut a corner. It says in Genesis 16:2, it says, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, that it may be that I will obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai." Well, of course he listened to the voice of Sarai. You know, and I think this is where we see Abraham has a little bit of dirty old man in him. He's a great man of faith, but he struggles just like we all do. And I think another really important principle, and who knows if this is even biblical, but just because a woman recommends you do something does not mean that you should necessarily do it, okay? Let me try to walk with you through this. This is something I've learned the hard way, and you probably already know this, but this is the classic husband and wife thing. Sarah says, "I can't believe you did this." And Abraham's like, "Well, it was your idea in the first place, okay?" And so what happens here is sometimes, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but my wife is teaching me this. Sometimes when a woman suggests something, it's not so much that she wants you to do it, but it is a recommendation or an opportunity for you to turn it down, okay? It is an opportunity for you to show your faithfulness, because, and this is something I've learned, and correct me if I'm wrong again, women, now, tell me if I'm right here, women don't want you to do things. Women want you to want to do things and then to do them, okay? I think I've learned this. And so we don't even know when Sarah is saying this, if this is even really what she wanted to do. I mean, she might be thinking, "I'm going to recommend this and he's going to prove his faithfulness to me," and be like, "No, honey, I could never do that." You know, but he's like, "All right, I'm down. So let's do this. I'll serve my family if this is how I need to do it." So But what we see here through this is the reality is the same way Adam wasn't innocent in the garden, Abraham's not innocent here. He's a smart guy. He knows. But what he sees is that when we don't follow God's plan, things get messy, confusing, people get hurt, and so on. And I think this morning what we have to ask is, well, how does this apply to me and you? Well, same thing. When you do not follow God's plan for your life, you will get hurt, you will be confused, and you will most likely hurt those around you the same way Abraham did. And I think a lot of times people want to know like the specifics of their life. Well, what is my like really specific purpose and goal? But I've always believed, and I think scripture tells us this, that we find out the specifics after we start doing the basics. And so we see you're supposed to worship God, which we do through through spending time with him, through going to church. We're supposed to trust Jesus. We're supposed to love people. And I think as we begin to do these things, we realize that's really God's plan for our life. But here's the thing. When you don't follow that plan for your life, things get really messy. I had a really interesting experience this week. I met one of the most creepy people I've ever met in my entire life, just to be honest. I was actually working through this sermon, and I was prepping for it in my office where I'm working at, and I'm preaching through the sermon, and I see like someone like zoom across my window, and it was kind of weird. Like immediately, just the way they walked across or past my window, I could tell something was odd, but I ignored it, And then I'm continuing to go on. And then I see someone pass across the window again. And I'm like, man, this is really weird because they're kind of, you know, at a fast pace. And I'm like kind of wondering what's going on. But I ignored it again. Then I heard a ring at the doorbell. And so I go over to the front of the office and I open the door. And it is this young 24-year-old girl, very well dressed. You can tell she's very educated. She's not generally the kind of person that comes to the door maybe asking for stuff, but she comes and she's like, you know, I'm not looking for money. I have a good job. She's like, but I need prayer. I need prayer really, really, really bad. And she was physically shaking. I mean, there was something very wrong with her. I mean, she wasn't on drugs. You could tell she was just, something was really, really going on. And I prayed with her, but I could just tell something was off, you know, and because she was a girl and obviously I'm a guy, I actually arranged for her to sit down with my wife. And so the next day they grabbed coffee and it turns out that this is a girl who used to be a Christian, okay, used to follow Jesus and love Jesus, but in her words, she matured out of that. And so now she still worships Jesus, but she worships Muhammad and the spirits and, you know, all these different types of things. And I'll tell you what, this girl has opened up Pandora's box in her life. I mean, she is having spirits coming at her. And you know, and I'm generally kind of cynical towards this stuff. I believe in 1 John 4:1, we test all the spirits. But this girl was like, there was legitimately an evil presence that was coming over her. And she was honestly disturbed. And it was ironic because when she's meeting with my wife, she's basically trying to convert my wife to like be like a new age spiritualist. But what's ironic is she's thinking, well, the reason we're here is because your whole life is in shambles, okay? But she can't seem to draw the correlation between the fact that she has opened up herself to all of these evil things, and now she's feeling evil presences in her life. She hasn't followed God's plan for her life. Things have gotten messy. She's gotten confused, and she's gotten hurt. And sometimes we can't seem to see the correlation between the reality that things aren't going well and we're hurt and we're not really following God's plan. A man as faithful as Abraham. The Old Testament epitome of faith is this man. But in his unfaithfulness to God in this act, he has brought a lot of pain. And I think what we see here, we ask, well, how could this guy be guilty of this? And I think we realize that faithful people still struggle and Christians still sin. This is really important to hear. Romans 7 says that, for I do not what I, the good that I want, Paul says, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. We're not perfect. And I think as we're examining this story and this dirty little secret of Abraham, I think what we are seeing is even the most faithful people have moments of unfaithfulness. And even the Christians who have been reconciled to God and they're at peace with God, even we still sin. It says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And so when we're looking at this story, the reality is that Abraham's dirty little secret is really everybody's dirty little secret. I don't care how good you look this morning or how good you think I look in terms of if I have my life together, I've sinned this week and you sinned this week. Everybody struggles. That's why everybody needs a savior. Everybody, every faithful person has moments of unfaithfulness. I'm going to be honest, this is a very encouraging story in a lot of ways. I feel bad for Abraham that he had to experience this, but when the man of faith commits an act of unfaithfulness like this, and not so much to his wife, but to God primarily, we all struggle. And the last principle before we move on is that we must be diligent in discerning God's will, and we must be patient. It says in Genesis 15 that Abraham listened to the voice of God, but then as we read in Genesis 16, it says he listens to the voice of Sarah. We must always discern God's will. You know, we don't see here that Abraham was really discerning God's will in terms of whether or not he should try and have a child with this woman. He just kind of seems like did it, unfortunately. And I think sometimes a lot of the problems we get into in life, and I can relate with this, is it because we just kind of did something. We didn't really think much. And generally when you talk to people, their biggest mistakes are when they weren't really thinking, you know? generally when you think through something, when you pray through something, you can realize, yeah, this might not be a good idea. But what happens is we make rash decisions and we end up hurting people, hurting ourselves, being unfaithful to God, and creating messy situations. And so when we follow God, we can avoid a lot of these problems. But the second and the main thing this morning is this, is that God's faithfulness overwhelms our unfaithfulness. God's faithfulness overwhelms our unfaithfulness. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. You can stay seated, but we're going to read Genesis 21, 1 through 7 together. It says this, Genesis 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Church, this morning, in light of Abraham's unfaithfulness, as we have seen, God was faithful to Abraham. Why? Because God promised him a son. Our unfaithfulness can never void the faithfulness of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I have a question for you this morning, and this is for my theological thinkers, for my kind of more intellectual people. I want to ask you a question. Did Abraham lose his faith in this story? Let's think about it. Did Abraham lose his faith? Because what happens is in 15:6, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But then in this moment of drama, we see that it seems as if Abraham has lost his faith because he believed in God, he trusted God, but all of a sudden he's doing something in his own power, which might symbolize that he doesn't really believe that God's going to provide anymore. But I think what happens here is not that he loses his faith, but that he has a moment of weakness. You ever had one of those? Moment of weakness? You ever done something when you were not thinking clearly? You know you shouldn't have done something and you did it and it came back to really, really bite you? Yeah. It happened to Abraham here. And we can verify this by saying that actually after this, God actually at one point calls Abraham to sacrifice this son named Isaac, and he's actually willing to do it. Now, the Lord spares Isaac because he was just proving his faithfulness, but we see that Abraham still remains a man of faith. He still remains a great symbol of faith. And so in our lives, there are moments of weakness. And I don't think we should mistake this as doubt in our faith so much as sometimes our circumstances are really just hard. Have you ever told someone you love that you hate them? I have. Have you ever said, I hate you, to like a parent or your spouse or a friend or to somebody that you loved? And if you've done that, did you really mean it? Or were you just in a tough spot? You see, sometimes it's ironic because I think we realize we say I hate you to the people we love the most sometimes, don't we? And if you haven't said it, maybe you've even thought it in your mind, man, I hate this person. You know, in that moment of frustration and things aren't going well. But I think sometimes when we say, I hate you, I think what we're really saying to people we love is, I love you, but this is really hard for me. I think that's what we're saying. Or I love you, but I feel like you've kind of wronged me in this moment. And I think sometimes circumstances, hardships, pain, anxiety can shake us to our core. You know, when you told that person you hated him, did you really mean it? No. You really love that person. There's a really powerful scene in a movie that probably a lot of you have seen. It's called Signs, famous Mel Gibson movie. And basically, it's the story of a priest who is Mel Gibson. And at the beginning of the movie, we realize that he lost his faith because he lost his wife in a really tragic accident. And the whole movie, he's kind of like doubting God. And it's obvious that his brother kind of believes, but he doesn't really believe. And there's this scene at the very end that's extremely powerful. And what happens is obviously it's an alien flick. And so aliens are coming and they find themselves stuck down in the basement and they can't get out. They're stuck in the basement and there's a problem because his son has asthma and he starts having this asthma attack, but they don't have his medicine. And so he's manually trying to help his son regain his composure and he's afraid he's going to lose his son. And in this really emotional scene, it's almost like out of nowhere, he starts talking to God. He starts telling God, please not again, please not again. He's basically talking to God. He says, I hate you. He says, I hate you. Don't do this to me again. And he's so frustrated. But it's so ironic in that scene because it's almost like in that he's regaining his faith. And we see at the very end, his son ends up living. It's a happy ending. And we see he ends up becoming a priest again and regaining his faith. And I think sometimes when we do wrong things or when we doubt or when we tell someone that we hate them, it's more so the overwhelming situation weighing on us and not so much what we really believe. I think that's what's happening with Abraham. C.S. Lewis says that faith is holding on to what you know to be true in light of your ever-changing moods. I love this, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, faith is holding on to what you know to be true in light of your ever-changing moods. And I think what we don't realize often is that our moods and our circumstances can really affect us and what we believe. I do not want to portray Abraham as this evil, unfaithful man. Now, he should have believed God. He should have trusted, but let's be honest. I mean, he wanted a son. He wanted a kid. I know so many people that have so desperately wanted a child but could not have one. It wears on you. I think even myself, I was a child that came after my parents had wanted kids for a long, long time and were unsuccessful at it. And back in the Old Testament, having a son was even more important because your whole livelihood was dependent upon having this kid. Your whole livelihood, your whole name going forth, the people that were going to take care of you in your old age, you know, there wasn't a government back then to take care of you. It was like your kids were going to take care of you. And if you didn't have kids, there was not going to be anybody to take care of you in your old age. And Sarah and Abraham are panicking because they're old and they're past the age when you normally have kids. And I can imagine the tears that Abraham and Sarah cried, wanting a child. And I can imagine him crying out to God and there being no answer. Have you ever felt maybe God was silent? Like, God spoke to me back then, you know, but I don't hear him anymore. And he spoke to me and I had a moment of maybe conversion where I came to faith, but now where I'm at, it's kind of quiet and it's not like it used to be. And I keep discerning God's will, but I don't hear anything. I think Abraham was experiencing this too. And I think in his moment of frustration, he committed an act of unfaithfulness to God. He did not trust God. But here is the good news this morning, church. This is the best part about it. This is why this is one of my favorite stories, is that we see here that God breaks out of the silence and delivers them the child that they have been waiting for. You know, it's funny. I've talked about how I've known a lot of people who have been desperate to have children. I've also known a lot of people that were like that and who ended up getting children. God does answer prayers. God does meet us where we're at, but sometimes it's not always on our timeline. You see here, God's faithfulness overwhelms the unfaithfulness of Abraham and Sarah. In light of all of the drama, in light of all the doubt, in light of all the problems, and all the mess, all of a sudden, their son is finally here. And this morning, just because everything doesn't add up where you're at, that does not mean God does not know what he is doing. And as we kind of close here, and as we kind of wind it down, I really want to encourage you to hang on, to keep trusting, because what the Bible tells us is God always comes through with his promises to us. And if Abraham had just trusted for a little bit longer, he could have avoided this whole situation. And so we see that God is faithful this morning. And this is the good news, that God understands. God knows it's hard. It's not like God is distant or separate, and in your hurting, in your anxiety, in your waiting, that God doesn't know or God doesn't care. God cares. God knows pain because he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. God knows what it's like to lose a son. But in the midst of our failures and our sin, God always provides for us. And I want to paint this picture for you real quick as we close. So what we see here in this story is Abraham commits an act of unfaithfulness. He commits an act of unfaithfulness, but even in light of his unfaithfulness and his lack of trust in God, what does God give Abraham? Gives him a son, a beautiful, perfect son. And for me and you this morning, in light of our sin, in light of our failures, in light of the things that we don't do that we should do, and being separated from God, in light of all of our problems, what does God give us? A son. And Jesus. He gives us a perfect son as forgiveness for our sins. And so this morning, church, I know there's a lot to take in here. It's a long, complicated story. But I think what we see here is that in light of our unfaithfulness and our sin, what Abraham shows us, what God shows us here, is that the faithfulness of God for those who are in Jesus will overwhelm your unfaithfulness. Would you pray with me this morning?